Good morning. God of justice and love, you are at work this very day on behalf of all people.
Help us. Is it on? Help us to see and act upon an opportunity to participate in your love and justice.
Give us the eyes and ears of faith as we go about our daily routines, as we walk the path and hallways of daily life, and as we attend to news local and global.
Then, seeing and hearing through the light of Christ, encourage us to pray and work without losing heart.
As we worship together today, help us to remember and carry with us always your love for us and all people everywhere. Amen.
Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. What a wonderful message to start the morning with. I have a couple of announcements. Joanne reminded me that we don't have anyone for coffee hour next week. So if you're going to be around and are willing to serve some delicious treats, I'm sure that we would all appreciate that very, very much, except probably for me. But all the rest of you will. Also, this week we have a Revive coming up on Friday the 21st. We're going to play Bunko. I know that was really popular last year, and I also know that Layla has been saving up prizes all year, and there are some phenomenal ones in the file cabinet in the office just waiting to be won by some lucky people, so come enjoy some Bunko with us. We're looking for some help with our Sunday school programs, so take a look at that announcement there, and then lastly, Ash Wednesday service is coming up faster than we think. It's in just under 2 weeks now. Services will be at 1 and at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, February 26th at St. John's Lutheran Church, so we get to join together with our ecumenical brothers and sisters on Ash Wednesday. I hope you will join me there. Those are all of my announcements. Are there any announcements I missed? No? Well, then will you join me in singing hymn number 2223 in the black hymnal, and they'll know we are Christians by our love.
We are one and all. Come before God as equal in God's sight. None of us is perfect.
Yet God has called us children and asked us to be compassionate, caring, to all people.
Come, let us worship and celebrate the mighty love and power of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. God of justice and mercy, everywhere we look, we see the imprint of your creative love. Put your spirit within us so we may work tirelessly and cry out day and night until we is done in all the earth. As we gather today to celebrate your love and all people, keep us mindful that we are meant to be stewards. Prepare us to work for you in ministries of peace and justice. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. I brought something with me today. Do you know what I have here?
Mustard seeds?
Yeah, good job. Has Pastor Doris showed these to you before?
No.
How did you know? Oh, it says on the side. That would be a good guide, using your resources. That's very smart. Well, they're not very big, right? You want to hold one? Here you can. There's one right there, right? Those are really quite small, right? But there's a story that Jesus tells us in the New Testament, and we're going to talk about it today, where Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like one of these teeny tiny mustard seeds, and that out of something small can grow something very big and important. Kind of cool, huh? So if you plant this in the ground, a big bush would grow. Theoretically, I don't know if this one actually will because you're supposed to eat these. But if you had one that came out of the ground originally and wasn't meant to be eaten, you could plant it in the ground and a big bush would grow. And the kingdom of heaven is like that. It grows out of small places. Kind of cool, right? So it lets us know that we too, even if we're small or big or no matter what size we are, we can grow into big things and do big things for God. Kind of cool, huh? Yeah. Do you want to keep it so you can remember it? Do you think you'll lose it? Yeah, it's pretty small, right? Sometimes people put them in jewelry or in other things like that so that they can remember that out of small places can grow big things. I can take them back. I'll save them for later. Maybe they'll come back out in the future. Pastor Doris left them for me. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, together with you, we know we can do big things.
We know we can do big things.
Like the mustard plant, which starts from a small seed.
Which starts from a small seed.
We know
we
can grow in your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I know you guys are going to sing now, right? We'll get your microphones up.
Psalm 10, verses 12 through 18. Rise up, O God. O Lord, lift up your hand. Do not forget the oppressed. Why do the wicked renounce God and say in their hearts, you will not call us to account? But you do see, indeed you note trouble and grief, that you may take it into your hands. The helpless commit themselves to you. You have been the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoers. Seek out their wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations shall perish from his land. O Lord, you will hear the desire of the meek. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that those from earth may strike terror no more.
Okay, looks like I got strapped on.
Not yet. Not yet.
And the song we selected this morning, I think you all know, all heard it, and it has to do with how we follow God. We don't really see him face to face like a lot of people did back in the days of the prophets and that, but we know that God is there because we can see traces of his being here. And that's what this song is all about. It's called I've Got His Footsteps. So let's give this a go, okay? I wasn't there when the prophets warned that in the town of Bethlehem a baby would be born. I wasn't there when death unprepared the way by preaching in the wilderness about what God would say. But even though I never walked by the Sea of Galilee, I've got his footsteps. I've got his footsteps
right in front of me. I wasn't there at that place and time when he calmed the water and gave eyesight to the blind. I wasn't there at the breaking of the bread, or when he was betrayed and given up for dead. I wasn't there when he stumbled at the hill of Galilee. But I've got his footsteps, I've got his footsteps right in front of me.
I've got his footsteps
right in front of me. I've never seen his face, but I do believe that when I'm feeling lost, he wants me to see his footsteps right in front of me. I wasn't there
when the grave was found with empty linens lying on the ground.
He walked away to eternity, but he left his footsteps right in front of me.
He walked away to eternity, and he left his footsteps right in front of me.
He left his footsteps right in front of me.
Thank you. We have had some wonderful music today. I'm just going to move microphones because I'm a little afraid of feedback. We are in a sermon series called Tell Me the Stories, where we look at the stories in parables of Jesus. And we also look at stories from the top 100 children's books. So we will have another children's book story today in this sermon. I hope you enjoy that. But you will notice that in your bulletin, if you're paying really close attention, that it says that the scripture for today is from Luke, and I changed it at the last minute. Which is appropriate because we're talking about doing how the kingdom of God is unexpected, so I unexpectedly changed this scripture for you. So the actual scripture today is the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 26 through 32. I hope you will enjoy this parable instead. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and would rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest had come." Also he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we know that your kingdom is unexpected. that it appears to us in times and in ways that we cannot quite grasp and understand. Lord, help us to know the goodness of your kingdom all around us, and to spread that goodness and love to all we meet. In your name we pray. Amen. The Story of Ferdinand by Runro Leaf. Once upon a time in Spain, there was a little bull, and his name was Ferdinand. All the other bulls he lived with would run and jump and butt their heads together, but not Ferdinand. He had a favorite spot out in the pasture under a cork tree, and he would sit in its shade all day and would smell the flowers. Sometimes his mother, who was a cow, would worry about him. She was afraid he would become lonesome all by himself, but because she was an understanding mother, even though she was a cow, she just let him sit there and be happy. As the years went by, Ferdinand grew and grew until he was very big and strong. All the other bulls who had grown up with him in the same pasture would fight each other all day. They would butt each other and stick each other with their horns. What they wanted most of all was to be picked to fight at the bullfights in Madrid. But not Ferdinand. He liked to just sit quietly under the cork tree and smell the flowers. One day, five men came in very funny hats to pick the biggest, fastest, roughest bull to fight in the bullfights in Madrid. All the other bulls ran around snorting and butting, leaping and jumping so that the men would think they were very, very strong and fierce and pick them. Ferdinand knew they wouldn't pick him, and he didn't care. So he went out to his favorite cork tree to sit down. He didn't look where he was sitting, and instead of sitting on a nice, cool grass in the shade, he sat on a bumblebee. Well, if you were a bumblebee and a bull sat on you, what would you do? You would sting him, and that's what that bee did. And wow, did it hurt. Ferdinand jumped with a snort, and he ran around puffing and snorting and butting and pawing the ground as if he were crazy. The five men saw him, and they all shouted for joy. Here was the largest and fiercest bull of them all, just the one for the bullfights in Madrid. So they took him away for the bullfight day in a cart. What a day it was. Flags were flying, bands were playing, and all the lovely ladies had flowers in their hair. They had a parade into the bull ring. First came the bandoleros with their long, sharp pins with ribbons on them to stick the bull and make him mad. Next came the picadors, who rode skinny horses and had long spears to stick in the bull and make him madder. Then came the matador, the proudest of all. He was very handsome and bowed to the ladies. He had a red cape and a sword and was supposed to stick the bull last of all. Then came the bull, and you know who that was, don't you? It was Ferdinand. They called him Ferdinand the Fierce, and all the bandoleros were afraid of him, and all the picadors were afraid of him, and the matador was scared stiff. Ferdinand ran into the middle of the ring, and everyone shouted and clapped because they thought he was going to fight fiercely and butt and snort and stick his horns around. But not Ferdinand. When he got to the middle of the ring, he saw all the flowers in the lovely lady's hair, and he just sat down quietly and smelled. He wouldn't fight and be fierce no matter what they did. He just sat and smelled. And the bandoleros were mad, and the picadors were madder, and the matador was so mad he cried because he couldn't show off with his cape and his sword. So they had to take Ferdinand home. And for all I know, he's sitting there still, under his favorite cork tree, smelling the flowers just quietly. And he is very happy. The end. The story of Ferdinand the Bull is surprising from beginning to end. My husband, Corey, had never heard this story, and when I told him I was planning to use it in a sermon and began reading it to him, he was skeptical, to say the least. After all, as a vegan, Corey is less than thrilled with the concept of bullfighting. But the story of Ferdinand won Corey over the way it wins everyone over, with a quiet, unexpected surprise. We are surprised to learn that Ferdinand is all right in the end. We are surprised that Monroe Leaf allows gentleness to win over violence. Both the ending of the book and the wonderful bull himself are simply not what we're expecting. They catch us off guard, causing us to think and reflect on what is important. Jesus often used unexpected stories to explain things to his disciples and by extension to us. These stories are known as parables, which comes from the Greek word meaning to throw alongside. Jesus throws earthly analogies alongside heavenly concepts. While these stories used common everyday occurrences in ancient Israel, in an attempt to shed light on harder concepts, when we read these stories, we often find that the meaning to us is as clear as mud. But these stories were meant to be wrestled with. And when we read them and ponder them together, we continue a long tradition as we attempt to try and understand their depths. Mark 4 gives us two related parables about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus shares these stories while he's alone with his 12 disciples, and they are the only two parables about the kingdom of heaven found in the Gospel of Mark. First, Mark shares with us the parable of the seed growing itself. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise at night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know why. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain on the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes out with his sickle because the harvest has come home." Next, Jesus gives us a second parable about the kingdom of heaven. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? For what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." When we think of the kingdom of heaven, we often imagine a far-off place where God lives. There we believe God is surrounded by gently floating angels and beloved loved ones. While this image of the kingdom of God is beautiful, it assumes that the kingdom is far away and divided from the earth, that the kingdom of God is something that cannot be achieved or glimpsed in this life. But that is not at all what Jesus seems to be saying here. Furthermore, the word kingdom is a bit problematic. It assumes that there's a king. And if you know anything about kingdoms at all, you know that kingdoms typically have a stratified society where some people are higher up on the social pyramid and others are down lower. The more power you have, the less people there are who have that kind of power. For example, there are a few lords towards the top, more landowners and tradesmen in the middle, and a whole lot of peasant serfs at the bottom who end up doing all the grunt work. But this kind of stratified society does not seem to describe the kind of kingdom that Jesus is talking about. If anything, it seems to be the opposite. That's why some theologians have suggested referring to the kingdom instead as the kindom. Your kin being your family members. The kingdom of heaven reimagines a world in which, like a family, everyone gets what they need and they work to live in harmony with one another. Martin Luther King Jr. referred to this idea of kingdom by another name. He called it the beloved community. Over and over again in his sermons, he challenged us to create a beloved community on earth through the power of love and justice. He said, "Love is creative and redemptive. Love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys." The aftermath of the fight with fire method, which you suggest, is bitterness and chaos. The aftermath of love is reconciliation and the creation of the beloved community. So if we look at the kingdom of heaven less as a hierarchical structure and more as a beloved community or kingdom, we begin to learn some surprising truths about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gives us two parables in which to understand this kingdom and how it will come about. First, Jesus gives us a parable of the growing seed in which someone scatters seed onto the ground, but this person, rather than carefully tending these seeds and watering them or weeding them, instead leaves them alone. Nevertheless, the parable tells us that the seeds grow over time and the person is able to harvest the grain. What Jesus is telling us is that the kingdom of heaven cannot be thwarted by human designs. The kingdom of heaven will grow with or without humans carefully tending it. In a world which so often feels very far from a beloved community or a kingdom where everyone receives what they need and shares mutual love with one another, I find this comforting. It often feels like we cannot do enough, say enough, or change enough to come anywhere close to creating the beloved community around us. But the truth is that the goodness of God's love, which Jesus came to share with us, cannot be destroyed by human intentions, good or bad. The kingdom of heaven will come to full fruition in its time. The second surprising truth that we learn about the kingdom of heaven is that while the kingdom of heaven might start from minuscule, almost invisible origins, it will still grow to huge proportions. Jesus tells us that like a mustard seed, a tiny seed no bigger than the head of a pin, which can grow into a shrub, so the kingdom of heaven can come from small places and grow into great things. Somehow, even our smallest actions, our deepest hopes, our dreams can reach way beyond us. The mustard seed was a deliberate choice. Jesus could have chosen a mighty oak tree, but instead he chooses a bush to represent the kingdom of heaven. Jesus intended to surprise us and challenge us. The truth is that the kingdom of heaven is not what we expect it to be. It challenges us and forces us out of our comfort zones. This parable invites our imaginations on a mysterious journey, beginning with the smallest seed sown in the earth, which will become a great bush. So too will the kingdom of God provide for multitudes of nations. I like to think that the kingdom of God is rather like our friend Ferdinand. He was going to be what he wanted to be no matter what others thought. He chose peace and gentleness and love over fame and glory and violence. He simply wasn't what everyone expected, but he was what they needed. As we go from this place, let us remember that things are not always what they seem, that despite our best or worst efforts, seeds will grow, that even from the smallest mustard seed, great things can come, and that the beloved community of God is still visible in small ways and in small places all around us as we wait for God's full goodness to come. Amen and amen. Will you stand with me and join in singing hymn number 3157 in the Green Book, verses 1 through 3. It's "Come Let Us Dream," just the first three verses.
all have gifts to bring to this beloved community that we are attempting to create with one another. Would the ushers please come forward and receive our gifts? Let us pray together the prayer on the screen above. God, oh wait.
We're going to stick to doxology.
That's not on here. Let us pray together the prayer on the screen above. God of generous providing, you have given us so many gifts that enrich our lives. Use these offerings, we pray, in service of the justice establishing through your kingdom and through us. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to share any prayers you have this morning. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
But I will. I appreciate it. Yes, we pray for Suzanne, who fell, and she broke her arm. She had surgery, and it was successful on Thursday. And so we pray that she would heal quickly from that, and that she would be able to get back to walking her dog very quickly, which I know she wants to be able to do. But thank you for reminding me. Our candle prayer for today, it is Black History Month, so it was particularly appropriate when I was researching. We'll see if our candle will light. It was particularly appropriate when I was researching this week's sermon. When I saw the Kingdom of Heaven, I thought immediately of Martin Luther King Jr.'s sermons, in which he talks over and over and over and over again about the beloved community. about this community that he envisions for the world, in which we are caring for one another and loving one another on a deep, deep reconciling level. And so that for that, I would like to pray for all of those who are doing work in reconciliation, particularly around racial issues, which continue to be a huge issue, particularly in our country today. But also, of course, for all of our civil rights activists who worked so incredibly hard so many years ago to get us the couple inches forward towards that beloved community that we are today. If you didn't know, the first song that we sang, this is the last thing I say, I promise, and then they'll know we are Christians by our love, was actually a song that was written during the civil rights movement. The second verse of it, we will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand, is marching. They're marching. They're linking arms. So it's an image of marching as justice, which is really beautiful. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, you want all good things for us. You have dreamed for us the vision of a beloved community, of a kingdom of heaven, where all people live as one in love and peace and reconciliation. Lord, we know so many days we feel so very far from that vision that you have dreamed for us. And yet, Lord, we know that like the seed in the ground, it continues to grow around us in ways big and small. As we go from this place, help us to be one of those ways that we truly may become a beloved community. Lord, we pray particularly this week for those with health concerns. We pray that you would strengthen them, that you would bless them day by day, that they may grow stronger and stronger and healthier and healthier. Lord, we pray particularly for those with cancer. We know how much this illness steals from those around us. We pray that you would help them find wholeness even in the midst of illness. Lord, we pray particularly for those who are in long-term care facilities or who our home can find. We pray that they would know the strength and goodness and beauty of your community wherever they find themselves. And Lord, we pray for all of those around the world who need your justice and your goodness this week. We pray that you would bring it to them. And we pray for all of those who are working for justice, that they may truly see seeds that are growing. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May the love of God dwell in your heart. May the grace of Christ uphold you in faith. May the Holy Spirit equip you to serve with gladness. and may God's blessings be poured onto you so that you may be a blessing to others. And may you continue to seek justice and never lose heart in doing so. Amen.
Thank you.